Welcome to Money is Freedom, a podcast exploring how finance and freedom connect in our lives. Created from thoughtful research and narrated by Notebook LM AI, this series brings you clear, meaningful insights into finance and beyond. In episode 21, we dive into why Ethereum is shaping up to be 2025's biggest contrarian bet in the crypto world. From its surging institutional adoption and groundbreaking developments in decentralized finance, to favorable macroeconomic trends and its deflationary tokenomics, Ethereum's story goes far beyond the hype. Join us as we explore the key reasons why this undervalued blockchain powerhouse could outshine its competitors and redefine the future of cryptocurrency.
Okay, so you've sent us a pretty interesting collection of articles and analyses all about Ethereum.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're trying to kind of figure out if all the hype, is it real?
Right.
Is Ethereum really going to be a big player in 2025? Or is it all just, you know, speculation and hype?
Mm-hmm.
The one that I thought was really interesting was this article from Chaos of Money.
Oh, yeah.
Called Why Ethereum is the Biggest Contrarian Bet in Crypto for 2025.
Okay.
So they're making the case for it as a contrarian bet, which means it's kind of going against what a lot of people think.
Right.
And they point to things like increasing institutional adoption, real world applications like stable coins, and also, you know, maybe a favorable economic environment.
Yeah.
What jumps out at you from all this material when you take a look at it?
Well, it's interesting that you're looking at Ethereum as not just a potential price increase,
right,
but also its role in the future of finance and technology.
Yeah.
And this article from Chaos of Money points to a lot of those things that that you mentioned. Institutional adoption, those real world applications.
Yeah.
And that economic environment.
Yeah.
So what are your initial thoughts on those factors?
Well, let's dive right in. One of the most interesting things, I think, is this whole thing about Ethereum ETFs.
Sure.
You know, you've probably seen a lot of news about them taking off.
Mm.
But back in November, did you know that Ethereum ETFs actually pulled in more investment than Bitcoin ETFs?
Wow.
For the first time ever. So people poured almost $333 million into Ethereum ETFs.
Interesting.
And Bitcoin was kind of left in the dust there.
Wow.
What do you make of that kind of shift?
Well, I think the emergence of Ethereum ETFs is a significant development.
Yeah.
That shows that Ethereum is really kind of breaking into the mainstream.
Right.
And it's a huge sign that institutional investors are starting to see Ethereum as more than just a speculative asset.
Mm-hmm.
It signals that they're recognizing the potential of its underlying technology and its potential to disrupt traditional finance.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think institutions are choosing Ethereum over other cryptos?
Mm.
Like, what do they see that maybe the average investor isn't seeing?
Well, institutions conduct extensive research and due diligence before making investment decisions.
Right.
In the case of Ethereum, they're recognizing several key advantages.
Yeah.
First, Ethereum has a robust and growing ecosystem of what we call dApps, decentralized applications spanning various sectors from finance to gaming to supply chain management.
Okay.
And this diverse ecosystem demonstrates the platform's versatility and potential for real-world adoption.
So it's not just about, you know, the price going up. It's about...
It's not just about speculation.
Right.
It's about utility.
Yeah.
It's about what you can do with it.
Okay.
Second, Ethereum has a large and active developer community,
mm-hmm.
constantly innovating and building new applications.
Yeah.
And this ensures that the platform remains at the forefront of blockchain technology. And third, Ethereum has a strong track record of security and resilience.
Yeah.
Having withstood the test of time and various market cycles.
Right.
So this makes it attractive for risk-averse institutional investors.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're really looking at its utility and its potential for growth.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm. And I think, you know, the article also really emphasizes that this isn't just about speculation.
Right.
It's about institutions seeing it as a technology play.
Exactly.
As much as an investment.
Right.
Can you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Sure.
What do you mean by that?
So they're exploring its use in areas like decentralized finance or DeFi, tokenization of real-world assets, and even supply chain management.
Right.
And these have the potential to revolutionize industries and create new business models.
Yeah.
For example, tokenizing real estate on Ethereum could make buying and selling property
right.
faster, more efficient, and accessible
yeah.
to a wider range of investors. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on those potential applications?
It's fascinating to think about like how it could really change.
It really could.
How we interact with assets and value.
Yeah.
But one thing I know that you've mentioned to me before is like this whole issue of high network fees on Ethereum.
Yeah.
This is kind of a common criticism that we hear.
Right.
And I'm wondering, you know, are these institutions concerned about that?
Yeah.
Is this something that could kind of hinder Ethereum's growth?
It's a valid concern.
Yeah.
And it results from its popularity
yeah.
and the limited capacity of its blockchain to process transactions.
So it's kind of a victim of its own success in a way.
You could say that.
Yeah.
However, there are solutions in development to address this
okay.
layer two scaling solutions
yeah.
like Optimism and Arbitrum.
Mm-hmm.
These are being implemented to increase transaction throughput.
So it's almost like creating like an express lane.
Exactly.
On the highway.
Yeah. Additionally, Ethereum's transition to a proof of stake consensus mechanism
right.
is expected to improve its efficiency and scalability.
Okay.
So high fees are a current challenge.
Right.
But they're not an insurmountable obstacle.
Right.
And the Ethereum community is actively working to solve them.
That makes sense. It sounds like they are evolving to meet those challenges.
They are.
The article also points out that it already has a really thriving ecosystem
right.
with a huge number of projects being built on it.
It does.
And in fact, it hosts 75% of all DeFi protocols.
Wow.
That's a pretty dominant position. What's your take on that?
I think the sheer volume of activity
yeah.
happening on Ethereum
right.
is a testament to the network's strength and the trust it has garnered.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You've got Uniswap, MakerDAO.
Yeah, big players.
All built on Ethereum.
Right.
Handling billions of dollars in transactions every day.
Wow.
This level of activity attracts developers, innovators, and users.
Yeah.
Creating a cycle of growth.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
So we've talked about institutional adoption.
Yes.
That growing ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
the potential for real world applications.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the real world impact it's already having?
Yeah.
Where do you see the most significant evidence of its practical use?
Well, when we look at the tangible impact Ethereum is having, two areas immediately come to mind.
Okay.
Stablecoins. And the tokenization of real-world assets.
Okay.
Have you been following those areas much?
I've been reading a lot about stablecoins lately.
Okay.
Especially, you know, this idea that they have the potential to really disrupt traditional payment systems.
Yeah.
And you shared some research with me from A16Z.
I did.
That really kind of highlights their advantages.
Yeah.
Faster transactions, lower fees, and global reach.
Right.
Those are some pretty compelling benefits, especially in today's world.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that A16's research
yeah.
paints a very compelling picture of a future
right.
where stablecoins built on networks like Ethereum become the preferred way to move money around the globe.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
imagine
yeah.
being able to send money to anyone, anywhere in the world.
Right.
Almost instantly.
Right.
For a fraction of the cost
yeah.
of traditional methods.
Yeah.
It's a game changer for remittances, cross-border payments, and anyone who needs to send money quickly and affordably.
Absolutely.
Right.
And they actually included a chart
yeah.
that compares stablecoins to traditional methods like credit cards, wire transfers, and ACH transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is striking.
Yeah.
Stablecoins just really outperform.
They do.
The traditional options on speed, cost, and accessibility.
Yes.
And they have this great line
oh, yeah.
in the research where they say, like, water, payments flow to the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they mean by that?
Well, I think that quote
yeah.
perfectly captures the essence of stablecoin disruption.
Right.
Just as water naturally seeks the easiest path, people are going to gravitate towards payment solutions
yeah.
that offer the most convenience, efficiency, and value.
Right.
And right now,
yeah.
stablecoins, particularly those built on Ethereum, represent that path of least resistance.
Yeah. It's a powerful idea.
It is.
The article also mentions that Ethereum-based stablecoin transactions
oh.
surpassed $8 trillion in 2024.
That's incredible.
That's a mind-blowing figure. It really makes you realize how significant this is becoming.
Yeah, and it's a testament to the growing adoption and
yeah.
utility of stablecoins.
Right.
You know, people are increasingly using them for everyday transactions,
right.
remittances,
mm-hmm.
and even as a store of value
yeah.
in countries with unstable currencies.
Right.
So this surge in usage really strengthens Ethereum's position as that leading platform
yeah.
for real-world blockchain applications.
Okay, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about tokenization.
Sure.
This is another area where it's making a big impact, but it's a little more complex.
It is.
To get your head around, can you maybe break it down for us and explain why it matters?
So think of tokenization as creating digital representations of real world assets on the blockchain. Things like stocks, bonds, real estate, even artwork can be tokenized.
Right.
And this unlocks a whole new level of liquidity and accessibility.
Okay, so instead of owning a physical piece of real estate, you could own a token that represents a portion of that property.
Exactly.
Okay.
And instead of going through a lengthy and expensive process to buy or sell, you can trade those tokens quickly and efficiently on a decentralized exchange.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And it seems like it could really democratize access.
It really could.
To investments that were previously only available to like the wealthy.
Absolutely.
Are we seeing real-world examples of this happening?
Yes, we are.
Already.
J.P. Morgan, one of the largest banks in the world, issued its first tokenized bond on Ethereum in 2024.
Wow.
And they specifically chose Ethereum because of its security and scalability.
Okay, so when a major player like J.P. Morgan is doing that, that's sending a signal.
It is.
Okay, so we've got stable coins disrupting payments.
Right.
Tokenization opening up these new investment opportunities.
Yeah.
It sounds like a pretty bright future for Ethereum.
It does.
But I think we need to talk about the regulatory landscape because governments around the world are still figuring out how to deal with crypto.
It's true.
And that uncertainty could be a major roadblock for adoption.
Right.
What's your take on kind of the regulatory landscape and how it might impact Ethereum?
Well, the regulatory landscape is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
But I think there are positive developments that are suggesting a more favorable environment is emerging.
Okay.
Particularly in the U.S.
Okay.
You know, the recent election resulted in a more pro-innovation stance from the government, recognizing the importance of fostering growth in the tech sector, including crypto.
So kind of a less restrictive approach.
Exactly.
Compared to maybe previous administrations.
Yes. There's a growing understanding that stifling regulations could hinder American leadership.
Right.
And no one wants to fall behind in this global tech race.
Right.
And in addition, there's growing momentum behind initiatives like FIT 21.
Right.
Which aim to provide regulatory clarity.
Right.
For the industry.
I've heard a little bit about FIT 21.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I totally understand what it entails.
Okay.
Can you maybe give me like the quick rundown on what that is and why it's important?
FIT 21 is a legislative plan that aims to simplify and clarify the rules for the crypto industry in the U.S.
Right.
Because right now there's a lot of ambiguity about who oversees what and what the rules are.
It's very confusing.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
So this makes businesses and investors hesitant to get involved. And so FIT 21 seeks to define roles more clearly.
Yeah.
Provide legal certainty and streamline the process.
Okay.
It's all about fostering responsible innovation within a clear framework.
So it's like everybody understanding the rules of the game.
Exactly.
And how would this specifically benefit Ethereum?
Well, as the leading platform for blockchain applications, Ethereum stands to gain enormously from a more defined regulatory framework in the U.S.
Okay.
Greater regulatory clarity will attract more institutional investors who are seeking that stability.
Right.
It'll encourage businesses to build on Ethereum knowing that they're operating within a clear legal framework.
Right.
So ultimately, it could accelerate Ethereum's integration into mainstream finance and technology.
That makes sense.
It could be a win-win for both the industry and regulators.
Okay, let's move on to this idea of Ethereum becoming a truly global asset. What are some of the things that are happening that are really contributing to that?
Well, it's becoming increasingly clear that its appeal extends far beyond the traditional tech hubs.
Right.
You know, cities like Vancouver are exploring the creation of crypto reserves.
Wow.
Recognizing the potential of digital assets to diversify their holdings and hedge against inflation.
Wow.
Imagine a city holding a portion of its treasury.
Wow.
in Ethereum.
That's pretty forward thinking.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's not just cities.
Yep.
Entire states are getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
States like Texas and Florida are actively courting crypto businesses.
Interesting.
Creating these favorable regulatory environments to attract investment.
Okay.
So they recognize the economic potential.
Yeah.
And they're vying to become crypto hubs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And how does this global trend benefit Ethereum specifically?
Well, as these regions and institutions explore blockchain technology,
yeah,
they're looking for established platforms.
Right.
With a proven track record, a strong developer community, and robust security.
Yeah.
And Ethereum ticks all those boxes.
Yeah.
It's the established ecosystem,
yeah,
the first mover advantage,
yeah,
the reputation for security.
Right.
It makes it a natural choice for governments and institutions.
Okay.
Looking to embrace this technology.
So this global momentum,
yeah,
could further solidify its position as the leading blockchain platform.
It could.
But, you know, amidst all this positivity,
right,
there are always critics.
Of course.
What are some of the arguments that people make against investing in Ethereum?
Yeah.
What should we be aware of?
Well, one common criticism is the issue of scalability.
Okay.
As more people use Ethereum,
right,
transaction speeds can slow down and fees can increase.
Right. We talked about that a little bit with the network fees.
We did, the pesky network fees.
Wow.
So that's a valid concern, especially if Ethereum aims to become this global financial system.
Right, because it needs to be able to handle the volume.
Yes.
So how do you counter that argument?
Yeah.
Is it keeping up?
Well, it's true that it has faced these scalability challenges, but the community is actively addressing them.
Okay.
Remember those layer two scaling solutions we talked about?
Yeah.
Optimism and Arbitrum?
Right.
Those are helping to take some of the load off
the
main Ethereum blockchain.
Yeah.
And they're making a real difference.
Okay, good.
And Ethereum is also transitioning to that proof of stake consensus mechanism.
Right.
Which is expected to improve its efficiency and scalability.
Okay.
So these are big changes.
Yeah.
And it shows that they are committed to evolving.
Yeah.
And meeting those demands of a growing user base.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I know another criticism that I hear sometimes is just that the technology itself can be complex.
It can be.
Right.
And especially if you're new to all this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like a whole new language.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. What advice would you give to someone who's interested in Ethereum?
Right.
But feels a little overwhelmed?
Yeah.
By all the jargon?
By the jargon, yeah.
It's natural to feel overwhelmed at first.
Sure.
But don't let that discourage you.
Right.
There are tons of resources available to help you understand the basics.
Like what?
Well, you've got websites like CoinDesk and Cointelegraph.
Yeah.
Those are reputable sources that break it down in a way that's easy to understand.
Right.
You can also check out Ethereum's own website. It's full of information for beginners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've found that joining online communities can be really helpful too.
That's a great point.
There are so many people on Reddit, on Twitter, who are passionate about it and are really willing to answer questions and share their knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to surround yourself with people who are also learning.
Absolutely.
So it's good to not feel like you have to figure it all out on your own.
Exactly. And remember, there's no need to rush.
Right.
Take your time, learn at your own pace.
Yeah.
And just experiment with small amounts of ETH to get comfortable with the technology.
That's good advice. Now, I want to talk about the macroeconomic factors that could impact Ethereum's future.
Sure.
The Chaos of Money article mentioned quantitative easing, or QE.
Uh-huh.
Can you remind us what that is and why it matters in this context?
So remember that whole money printer go brrr meme a few years back? Well, quantitative easing is kind of like that.
Okay.
But in real life.
Yeah.
It's when central banks inject money into the economy.
Right.
To stimulate growth.
Right.
And often they do this by buying assets like government bonds.
Right.
Which increases the money supply.
Right.
And historically, we've seen that crypto assets like Ethereum.
Yeah.
Tend to do well during those periods of QE.
Okay. So more money in the system tends to push asset prices higher.
Exactly.
Okay. But is that the only reason why QE could be good?
No. QE can also lead to inflation.
Right.
Which erodes the value of fiat currencies like the US dollar.
Okay.
So people turn to assets like gold.
Yeah.
And increasingly, cryptocurrencies like Ethereum.
Okay.
As a hedge against that inflation.
Right.
So Ethereum, with its limited supply and decentralized nature.
Yeah.
can be seen as a store of value.
Right, like digital gold almost.
Exactly.
The article also mentions something called an uninverting yield curve.
Yes.
Which, to be honest, sounds kind of complicated.
A little bit.
Can you explain what that means?
Sure.
And why it could be good news for Ethereum?
So imagine a graph that shows interest rates.
Okay.
For bonds with different maturity dates.
Okay.
That's the yield curve.
Okay.
And when it's inverted, it means that short-term interest rates are higher than long-term rates.
Okay.
And that's often seen as a sign of a potential recession.
Oh, okay.
An uninverting yield curve.
Right.
Means that situations are reversing, and suggesting that investors are more optimistic about the future.
So a shift from fear
exactly.
to confidence.
Yeah.
Okay. And how does that relate to Ethereum?
Well, when investors feel confident about the economy,
right.
they're more likely to invest in risk-on assets.
Right.
Like stocks and, yes, cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
So Ethereum could benefit from this increased risk appetite.
Right.
As investors seek those higher potential returns.
So it seems like there are a lot of macroeconomic factors that are kind of lining up.
They are.
That could be favorable for Ethereum.
Right.
The Chaos of Money article even suggests that global central banks might resume QE.
Oh, wow.
In 2025.
Interesting.
Which could create even more of a tailwind.
It could.
Right.
Yeah.
But we've also talked about some risks.
Of course.
And criticisms.
Right.
So taking all of that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this contrarian bet idea still holds up?
Well, it's becoming less contrarian all the time. You know, when that Chaos of Money article was written,
yeah.
the idea of Ethereum surpassing Bitcoin seemed pretty bold.
Right.
But the evidence we've discussed,
right.
you know, the institutional adoption,
right.
the real world applications,
yeah.
the macro trends,
right.
and even the shift in the regulatory landscape,
right.
all point to a very bright future.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say it's a sure thing.
Of course not.
Right.
There are always risks in any investment.
Right.
And crypto is no exception.
Right.
But I believe, based on those fundamentals,
mm-hmm.
based on that growing adoption
yeah.
and the overall momentum,
right.
that Ethereum is well positioned to continue its growth trajectory.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate.
Okay.
What are some potential risks?
Mm-hmm.
that people should be aware of.
Yeah.
What could derail Ethereum's success?
Well, I think one risk is regulatory uncertainty.
Okay.
You know, governments around the world are still figuring out how to regulate crypto. And sudden policy changes could negatively impact the market.
Yeah.
We talked about the positive developments in the U.S.
Right.
But things can change.
Yeah.
And other countries might take a more restrictive approach.
So even though things are looking good now,
yeah.
there's no guarantee it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, yeah.
What else should people be thinking about?
Well, another risk is competition.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
new blockchains are emerging all the time.
Right.
Some claiming to be faster, cheaper, or more scalable than Ethereum.
So it's not just about what Ethereum's doing today. Mm. It's about how it continues to adapt.
It is. It is.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, we have.
And I think we've given our listener a good overview
mm-hmm.
of Ethereum's potential,
right.
the challenges it faces,
yeah.
and the factors that could influence its future.
Absolutely.
Any final thoughts?
I think the key takeaway
yeah.
is that Ethereum is more than just a cryptocurrency.
Right.
It's a platform with real-world applications
yeah.
that are changing the way we think about finance, technology, and even society.
Wow.
It's still early days, but the potential is enormous.
Yeah.
Whether it becomes the king of crypto yeah. remains to be seen.
Right.
But I think its role or, as yeah. a driving force
right.
in this decentralized future
mm-hmm.
is undeniable.
I agree. It's been a fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
And I think we've all learned a lot.
I think so too.
So to our listener,
yeah.
we encourage you to keep exploring the space, stay curious, and never stop learning.
Absolutely.
The future of finance and technology is being written right now,
mm-hmm.
and you have the opportunity to be part of it.
You do. It's true. There are always two sides to every story.
Right.
What are some of the arguments that people make against investing in Ethereum? What should we be aware of?
Yeah. What are the things that people say, you know, to be cautious about?
Well, one common criticism is this whole issue of scalability.
Okay.
You know, as more people use Ethereum, those transaction speeds can slow down.
Right.
And the fees can increase.
Right. We talked about that a little bit.
The pesky network fees.
Yeah.
And this is a valid concern.
Right.
Especially if Ethereum wants to become this global financial system.
Right. It needs to be able to handle
it
that kind of volume.
Yeah.
So how do you counter that argument?
Yeah.
Is it keeping up?
It's true that Ethereum has faced these scalability challenges.
Yeah.
But the community is actively addressing them.
Okay.
You know, we talked about those layer two scaling solutions.
Right, like Optimism and Arbitrum.
Exactly. Optimism and Arbitrum.
Yeah.
Those are really helping to take some of that load off the main Ethereum blockchain.
Yeah.
And they're making a real difference.
Okay, good.
And Ethereum is also transitioning to that proof of stake consensus mechanism.
Right.
Which should improve its efficiency and scalability.
Okay.
So these are big changes.
Yeah.
And they show that Ethereum is committed to evolving and meeting the demands of that growing user base.
Okay. That makes me feel better. Yep. I know another criticism that we hear sometimes is just that the technology itself can be complex.
It can be.
Right. And for someone who's totally new to all of this, it can feel pretty intimidating.
It can.
Yeah, it's like a whole new language almost.
It is. It is.
What advice would you give to someone who's interested in Ethereum, but feeling a little bit overwhelmed by all the jargon?
Well, it's natural to feel overwhelmed at first.
Yeah.
But don't let that discourage you.
Right.
There are a ton of resources available to help you understand the basics.
Like what? What would you recommend?
Well, you've got websites like CoinDesk and Cointelegraph.
Yeah.
Those are reputable sources that can really break things down in a way that's easy to understand.
Yeah.
You can also check out Ethereum's own website.
Right.
It's full of information for beginners.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found that joining online communities can be really helpful too.
That's a great point.
You know, there are so many people on Reddit, on Twitter, who are passionate about it and are really willing to answer questions and share their knowledge.
Exactly.
So it's a good way to kind of surround yourself with other people.
Absolutely.
Who are also learning.
And remember, there's no need to rush.
Right.
Take your time, learn at your own pace, and experiment with small amounts of ETH just to get comfortable with the technology.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about some of those macroeconomic factors that could impact Ethereum's future.
Sure.
The Chaos of Money article specifically mentions quantitative easing, or QE. Can you remind us what that is and why it matters in this context?
Remember that whole money printer go brrr meme from a few years back?
Yeah.
Well, quantitative easing is kind of like that.
Okay.
But in real life.
Yeah, in the real world.
It's when central banks inject money into the economy.
Right.
To stimulate growth.
Right.
And they often do this by buying assets like government bonds.
Right.
Which increases the money supply.
Okay.
And historically, we've seen that crypto assets like Ethereum tend to do well.
Right.
During those periods of QE.
So more money in the system tends to push asset prices higher.
Exactly.
Including crypto. Okay. Yeah. But is that the only reason why QE could be good for Ethereum?
No. QE can also lead to inflation.
Right.
Which erodes the value of fiat currencies like the US dollar.
Yeah.
So people often turn to assets like gold and increasingly cryptocurrencies like Ethereum.
Okay.
As a hedge against that inflation.
So it's almost like digital gold in a way.
Exactly. Yeah.
The article also mentions something called an uninverting yield curve.
Ah, yes.
Which, to be honest, sounds a little bit complicated.
It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's actually not that complex.
Okay.
So imagine a graph that shows interest rates.
Okay.
For bonds with different maturity dates.
Okay.
That's the yield curve.
Right.
And when it's inverted, it means that short-term interest rates are higher than long-term rates.
Okay.
And that's often seen as a sign of a potential recession coming.
Oh, okay.
An uninverting yield curve just means that that situation is reversing.
Okay.
Suggesting that investors are more optimistic about the future.
Okay. So it's kind of a shift from fear to confidence.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does that relate to Ethereum?
Well, when investors feel confident about the economy, they're more likely to invest in what we call risk-on assets.
Okay.
Things like stocks.
Yeah.
And, yes, cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
So Ethereum could benefit from this increased risk appetite.
Right.
As investors seek those higher potential returns.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it seems like there are a lot of macroeconomic factors that are kind of lining up that could be favorable for Ethereum.
Yeah.
The Chaos of Money article even suggests that global central banks might resume QE in 2025.
Wow.
Which would create even more of a tailwind for crypto.
It could. It really could.
But we've also talked about some risks.
Oh, of course.
And criticisms.
Right.
So taking all of that into consideration.
Yeah.
Do you think this contrarian bet idea still holds up?
You know what? It's becoming less contrarian all the time.
Right.
When that Chaos of Money article was written.
Yeah.
The idea of Ethereum surpassing Bitcoin seemed pretty bold.
Right. It seemed far out there.
It did. It did.
Yeah.
But, you know, the evidence we've discussed today,
yeah,
the institutional adoption, the real-world applications,
right,
the macro trends, the shift in the regulatory landscape,
right,
all point to a very bright future for Ethereum.
Okay.
Now, I wouldn't say it's a sure thing.
Of course not.
There are always risks with any investment, and crypto's no exception.
Right.
But I believe, based on those fundamentals, based on that growing adoption and that overall momentum,
mm-hmm,
I think Ethereum is well positioned to continue its growth trajectory.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate for a minute.
Okay.
What are some of those risks,
yeah,
that people should be aware of? What are the things that could potentially derail Ethereum's success?
I think one risk is that regulatory uncertainty.
Okay.
You know, governments around the world are still figuring out how to regulate crypto.
Right.
And sudden policy changes could have a negative impact on the market.
Right.
We've talked about the positive developments in the US.
Right.
But things can change.
Right.
And other countries might take a more restrictive approach.
So even though things are looking good now,
yeah,
doesn't mean that that's going to continue.
Exactly.
What else should people be thinking about?
Another risk is competition.
Okay.
You know, new blockchains are emerging all the time.
Right. There's always something new.
There is.
So it's not just about what Ethereum's doing today.
Right.
It's about how it continues to adapt and evolve.
It is. It is.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
And I think we've given our listener a pretty good overview,
yeah,
of Ethereum's potential,
mm-hmm,
the challenges that it faces,
right,
and the factors that could influence its future. Right.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I think the key takeaway here,
yeah,
is that Ethereum is more than just cryptocurrency.
Right.
It's a platform with real-world applications,
yeah,
that are changing the way we think about finance, technology, and even society.
Wow. That's a big statement.
It is.
It's still early days, but the potential is enormous.
It is.
Whether it becomes the king of crypto, that remains to be seen.
Right.
But I think its role as a driving force in this decentralized future is undeniable.
I agree.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
I think we've all learned a lot.
Me too.
To our listener, we encourage you to keep exploring this space.
Yes.
Stay curious. Never stop learning.
Absolutely.
The future of finance and technology is being written right now,
mm-hmm,
and you have the opportunity to be a part of it.
You do. It's true. There are always two sides to every story.
Right.
What are some of the arguments that people make against investing in Ethereum? What should we be aware of? Yeah. What are the things that people say, you know, to be cautious about?
Well, one common criticism is this whole issue of scalability.
Okay.
You know, as more people use Ethereum, those transaction speeds can slow down.
Right.
And the fees can increase.
Right. We talked about that a little bit.
The pesky network fees.
Yeah.
And this is a valid concern.
Right.
Especially if Ethereum wants to become this global financial system.
Right. It needs to be able to handle
it does.
That kind of volume.
Yeah.
So how do you counter that argument? Is it keeping up?
It's true that Ethereum has faced these scalability challenges.
Yeah.
But the community is actively addressing them.
Okay.
You know, we talked about those layer two scaling solutions.
Like Optimism and Arbitrum.
Exactly. Optimism and Arbitrum.
Yeah.
Those are really helping to take some of that load off
Okay. The
main Ethereum blockchain.
Yeah.
And they're making a real difference.
Okay, good.
And Ethereum is also transitioning to that proof of stake consensus mechanism, which should improve its efficiency and scalability.
Okay.
So these are big changes.
Yeah.
And they show that Ethereum is committed to evolving and meeting the demands,
right,
of that growing user base.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I know another criticism that we hear sometimes,
yeah,
is just that the technology itself can be complex.
It can be.
Right. And for someone who's totally new to all of this,
right,
it can feel pretty intimidating.
It can.
Yeah, it's like a whole new language almost.
It is. It is.
What advice would you give to someone who's interested in Ethereum,
mm-hmm,
but feeling a little bit overwhelmed by all the jargon?
Well, it's natural to feel overwhelmed first.
Right.
But don't let that discourage you.
Right.
There are a ton of resources available to help you understand the basics.
Like what? What would you recommend?
Well, you've got websites like CoinDesk, mm, and Cointelegraph.
Yeah.
Those are reputable sources that can really break things down.
Right.
in a way that's easy to understand. You can also check out Ethereum's own website.
Right.
It's full of information for beginners.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found that joining online communities can be really helpful too.
That's a great point.
You know, there's so many people on Reddit, mm-hmm. Twitter,
yep.
who are passionate about it and are really willing to answer questions and share their knowledge.
Exactly.
So it's a good way to kind of surround yourself with other people who are also learning.
And remember, there's no need to rush.
Right.
Take your time, learn at your own pace,
yeah.
and experiment with small amounts of ETH
yeah.
just to get comfortable with the technology.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about some of those macroeconomic factors
okay.
that could impact Ethereum's future.
Sure.
The Chaos of Money article specifically mentions quantitative easing, or QE.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remind us what that is
yeah.
and why it matters in this context?
Remember that whole money printer go brrr?
Yeah.
Me,
yeah. Yeah.
A few years back.
Yeah.
Well, quantitative easing's kind of like that.
Okay.
But in real life.
Yeah. In the real world.
It's when central banks inject money into the economy.
Right.
To stimulate growth.
Right.
And they often do this by buying assets like government bonds.
Right.
It increases the money supply.
Okay.
And historically, we've seen that crypto assets like Ethereum tend to do well.
Right.
During those periods of QE.
So more money in the system tends to push asset prices higher.
Exactly.
Including crypto.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is that the only reason why QE could be good for Ethereum?
No, QE can also lead to inflation.
Right.
Which erodes the value of fiat currencies like the US dollar.
Yeah.
So people often turn to assets like gold
mm-hmm.
and increasingly cryptocurrencies like Ethereum
okay.
as a hedge against that inflation.
So it's almost like digital gold in a way?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
The article also mentions something called an uninverting yield curve.
Ah, yes.
Which, to be honest, sounds a little bit complicated.
A bit of a mouthful. Yeah. But it's actually not that complex.
Okay.
So imagine a graph that shows interest rates.
Okay.
For bonds with different maturity dates.
Okay.
That's the yield curve.
Right.
And when it's inverted, it means that short-term interest rates are higher
okay.
than long-term rates.
Okay.
And that's often seen as a sign of a potential recession coming.
Oh, okay.
An uninverting yield curve
okay.
just means that that situation is reversing.
Okay.
Suggesting that investors are more optimistic about the future.
Okay. So it's kind of a shift from fear to confidence.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does that relate to Ethereum?
Well, when investors feel confident about the economy,
right.
they're more likely to invest in what we call risk on assets.
Okay.
Things like stocks.
Yeah.
And yes, cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
So Ethereum could benefit from this increased risk appetite.
Right.
As investors seek those higher potential returns.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it seems like there are a lot of macroeconomic factors that are kind of lining up.
Lining up, yeah.
That could be favorable for Ethereum.
Yeah.
The Chaos of Money article even suggests that global central banks might resume QE in 2025.
Wow.
Which would create even more of a tailwind for crypto.
It could. It really could.
But we've also talked about some risks.
Of course.
And criticisms.
Right.
So taking all that into consideration,
yeah.
do you think this contrarian bet idea still holds up?
You know what? It's becoming less contrarian all the time.
Right.
When that Chaos of Money article was written.
Yeah.
The idea of Ethereum surpassing Bitcoin seemed pretty bold.
Right. It seemed far out there.
It did. It did.
Yeah.
But, you know, the evidence we've discussed today.
Yeah.
The institutional adoption, the real world applications.
Right.
The macro trends, the shift in the regulatory landscape.
Right.
All point to a very bright future for Ethereum.
Okay.
Now, I wouldn't say it's a sure thing.
Of course not.
There are always risks with any investment.
Right.
And crypto is no exception. But I believe, based on those fundamentals,
yeah.
based on that growing adoption and that overall momentum,
mm-hmm.
I think Ethereum is well positioned to continue its growth trajectory.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate for a minute.
Okay.
What are some of those risks
yeah.
that people should be aware of?
Right.
What are the things that could potentially derail Ethereum's success?
I think one risk is that regulatory uncertainty.
Okay.
You know, governments around the world are still figuring out how to regulate crypto.
Right.
And sudden policy changes could have a negative impact on the market.
Right.
We've talked about the positive developments in the US.
Right.
But things can change.
Right.
And other countries might take a more restrictive approach.
So even though things are looking good now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that that's going to continue.
Exactly.
What else should people be thinking about?
Another risk is competition.
Okay.
You know, new blockchains are emerging all the time.
Right. There's always something new.
There is.
So it's not just about what Ethereum's doing today.
Right. It's about how it continues to adapt and evolve.
It is. It is.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
And I think we've given our listener a pretty good overview of Ethereum's potential, the challenges that it faces, and the factors that could influence its future.
Right.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I think the key takeaway here is that Ethereum is more than just a cryptocurrency.
Right.
It's a platform with real-world applications that are changing the way we think about finance, technology, and even society.
Wow, that's a big statement.
It is.
It's still early days, but the potential is enormous.
It is.
Whether it becomes the king of crypto, that remains to be seen.
Right.
But I think its role as a driving force in this decentralized future is undeniable.
I agree.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
I think we've all learned a lot.
Me too.
To our listener, we encourage you to keep exploring this space. Stay curious. Never stop learning.
The future of finance and technology is being written right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity to be a part of it.
You too.